I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Obviously, this is a big day. This is the day that the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees will be deposing Hunter Biden. We're deposing Hunter Biden because he's a key witness in our investigation of President Joe Biden. Our committees have unearthed substantial evidence of President Biden and his family's corruption. The Bidens created 20 shell companies, most of which were created when Joe Biden was vice president. And for anyone who doesn't understand what a shell company is, and I'm talking to the Associated Press here, a shell company is a company with no assets or no known purpose. We've determined that the Bidens had 20 shell companies. The Bidens and their associates raked in over $30 million from China, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania, and Democrat donors. 10 members of the Biden family, including Joe Biden, either participated or benefited from the family influence peddling schemes.
Influence peddling schemes. That is Kentucky Congressman James Comer speaking on behalf of the House Congressional Committee deposing Hunter Biden today. Now, it took place behind closed doors. Remarks, everything, whatever one says coming out after he talks, you can take with a grain of salt. But we're going to set in place for you again the very basics of the case. And keep in mind, Hunter Biden has denied anything that involved daddy financially. That he was not financially involved. What does that mean? Because it's basically changed over the period of time. Had no contact, no knowledge, da-da-da-da-da, and now no financial involvement. Does that mean he did not put up money to help Hunter Biden do his deals? There are a lot of questions. And, of course, this is all part of the House looking at impeaching Joe Biden. This is part of the hearing. We have a lot of events going on today. First of all, reference to the president himself. It popped up in my phone briefly this morning, and then it disappeared, and I wondered, well, what happened? Well, it popped up that the president was making an unannounced visit to Walter Reed Hospital. Now we're being told that it was a scheduled physical to be held today. Of course, Biden being 81, the oldest to ever hold the office. And tomorrow he heads down to the border. So he's having the physical today. Or did have it, I should say, today. And then we also have this story. Mitch McConnell, the longest serving Senate leader in history, who turned 82 last week, announcing today that he is going to resign, going to step down from that position this coming November. Mitch McConnell, he has served well, and yet lately he has served not well. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Thanks for joining us here. We are Feb 28, 2024. The first hour, Larry Connors, USA. First of 2 hours back-to-back. Right here for you every Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m., and reminding you when we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you at News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, or if you miss anything, you can pull it up as an audio or video podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. Very easy to find, and we encourage you to do so, and when you pull it up and review it, catch something you missed or seeing it for the first time or listening to it, share it with someone, please. We need to make sure everyone's being informed going forward into this election. So, again, back to the deposition from Hunter Biden. We know the basics of the case, but as you heard him say, they formed these shell companies, and for the benefit of those who don't know what a shell company is, like the Associated Press, it's basically to launder money. That's what it amounts to hide the source and where it goes. But James Comer says the basic issue still is Joe Biden as the brand of this scheme.
What was the Biden family business? That's been a big question of this whole investigation. What was the business? Biden family associates testified that Joe Biden was the brand. President Biden has repeatedly lied to the American people that he never interacted with his son's associates. But when Joe Biden was vice president, he spoke to his son's associates by speakerphone over 20 times. He dined with foreign oligarchs and a Burisma executive and had coffee with his son's Chinese associate, all while he was vice president. And since you all care so much about Russia, we know that Vice President Biden spoke on the phone with Russian oligarch Yelena Vaterina and dined with her as she was funneling millions of dollars to his son. One associate said this phone call was orchestrated by Hunter Biden, and Vice President Biden told her to, quote, be good to my boy.
Be good to my boy, and he didn't know anything about anything? I know nothing? Really? See, all of this is going to begin to unfold. Now, some of it relies upon whistleblowers. Some of it relies upon testimony and possibly contradicting testimony from Hunter Biden and others. And it also relies a lot upon bank records. And James Comer is an expert when it comes to bank records because that's his forte and his previous business acumen. He knows how to read them. They've got bank records, ledgers, depositions, all of this. So it's not just hearsay. But then there's also the stuff that Hunter Biden has done himself that points out how much they were willing to do. And this is the extortion plot that was actually documented on one of the chats that Hunter Biden was having.
Hunter Biden threatened his CEFC associate when he demanded payment by claiming his father was sitting next to him in the room. That's the WhatsApp message that the two IRS whistleblowers, Shapley and Ziegler, produced to the Ways and Means Committee. A WhatsApp message where Hunter Biden claimed his father was sitting beside him when he was shaking down or extorting money from the Chinese national. Shortly thereafter, CEFC wired $5 million to an entity controlled by Hunter Biden. Later that same day, $400,000 was moved from the joint entity's account to a business account of Hunter Biden. A few weeks later, Joe Biden received a $40,000 check from that transaction. That's evidence that Joe Biden received $40,000 directly from the Chinese Communist Party linked entity. This is public corruption 101. The American people see the corruption, but unfortunately, many in the corporate media and Democrats seek to cover up for the Bidens.
Yep, that's their plan from day one. Conceal, cover up, deflect. Look at another shiny object. There's nothing to see here. No, we're watching, and we're watching closely. Now, this hearing that's underway is later going to be held, or I should say the hearing that's been underway, will be later held as a full public display. They're gathering basic documents and details right now, as you do in any deposition. But when it comes to the floor for full public view, it will be must-watch video. Now, various members of the committee will have chances to ask their various questions. And you can hear some of the stuff Comer's already laid out. Those obviously are going to be asked. Tennessee Congressman Burchett also has a particular question.
I'd just like to know if he ever paid any taxes on that $20 million. And I would like to know what his qualifications were, what influence the Chinese had with these investments, and what was he selling? What was his product? He has no product. You know, they always bring up the Trump family, but they have a product. They've sold things, real estate, clothing, everything, you know, just name it. And yet they bring that up. But the reality is Hunter had nothing but influence, and that's all that it is.
That's all that he had. And Burchett's question gets right to the basics. Did you ever pay taxes on any of that money? That's in itself a federal violation. Not only for Hunter, but James Biden, Joe Biden, other members of the Biden family, if they got any money that they show that got deposited in their accounts, did you pay taxes on that? You remember Al Capone, at least the history of him? Bootlegger, basically slaughtering people left and right. And how did they get Capone? Ah, failure to pay federal taxes. Interesting scenario. Well, tomorrow, Biden will be holding, or rather be headed to the border, Brownsville, Texas. He announced that trip right after Donald Trump announced that he was going to go make a visit tomorrow to Eagle Pass, Texas. So Trump announces a trip to Eagle Pass, Texas, and immediately Biden says, oh, we're going to the border too. We're going down to Brownsville. That's about 300 plus miles away, but I'll be at the border. Now, the Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, had a very difficult time restraining himself during a Fox interview over the Biden border crisis.
It is not good for any guest to be angry on in an interview. Mm-hmm. But I sat there and I listened to Schumer and I listened to these stories of these young women that have been killed and this young girl who's been attacked. What the hell did the president think was going to happen when you let 10 million people, criminals, potential terrorists, rapists, murderers, gang members, mm-hmm. cross the border? What did he think? This is all due to their policies. And I can't even express how the pain that we feel for every American that's lost, because those two young girls, that young girl who was raped, and all the hundreds of thousands who have been who have died from fentanyl, they would be alive today.
They would be. And you can understand the Texas Lieutenant Governor's reaction, the anger, the angst, all because Joe Biden decided to go along with a progressive plan of open the border. I want to share something for you from Elon Musk on his Twitter account. Dams are bursting all over the country. America's only 4% of Earth's population. Talking about our U.S. America's only 4% of the Earth's population. If only 1% of the rest of the Earth moves here, that would crush all essential services. I am ringing the alarm bell because a flood of illegals is crushing the country. Again, that's Elon Musk on his own Twitter account. And you go up to Chicago. Kata Trust, a Chicago long-term resident, longtime Democrat, says, we've had it.
It's simple. The Democratic Party has failed us here in Chicago. Our local government, as well as our state government, and even our president, has made our migrants a priority over American citizens. And so we have to stand up and we have to let them know that it is unacceptable. We have to let them know that you're not going to continue to depend on our vote. You know, Chicago is a Democratic stronghold. Yeah. And we've been that way for years. And we are allowing our elected officials to mistreat us by continuing to support the Democratic Party. It is now time for us to stand up and to vote differently.
Good, good. You think that will ring a bell also in California? Well, I'm looking at a piece from Senator Butler, Democrat of California, now asking the Biden administration, we need more FEMA taxpayer money to provide more shelter beds in San Diego. The county migrant shelter ran out of funding, and she's estimating 800 to 1,000 migrants per day will be released there without intervention. And a reminder to you, California is a sanctuary state. It could provide state funding to assist San Diego. But Senator Butler wants federal dollars through FEMA, which is also handing out grants to the NGOs, the non-government organizations that supposedly are taking care of illegals while pocketing untold millions of dollars not being fully accounted for. And, of course, you heard the Lieutenant Governor Patrick talking about the mayhem, the violence that has followed the illegals coming into this country. Now, the Lakin Riley case, the young nursing student in Georgia, a Venezuelan illegal, has been arrested and charged with her murder, bashing her head in. But at this point, we have to continue to say he's accused. He's not convicted. But he is illegal, and they caught him near the scene. They say they have evidence linking him. That's going to be the allegation of the prosecution. But we also know that he entered the U.S. near El Paso in 2022. They caught him. They did a quick parole issue permit for him, as Biden allows, and let him go roam free about the country. Found his way to New York City, where he ends up being arrested again. And this time, the city could have held him because he was in violation of his parole. for Department of ICE to get there and pick him up, but they didn't. They let him go. So then he ends up back down in Georgia. And the White House issued a statement referenced the death of Laken Hope Riley, stating people should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if they're found to be guilty. I agree. But I'll also say then that includes Biden, because he is guilty of what we have at the border. Congressman Banks of Indiana said no real statement from Biden, just a few cold words from a press aide. Pathetic. Congressman Andy Biggs, Arizona, people should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if they're found to be guilty. Really? The White House refused to hold this illegal accountable for crossing our border illegally. Senator Tuberville, Alabama, I heard no apologies or remorse from the Democrats about their open borders, tragic and preventable. And again, back to Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, he says the issue is Biden, if he has a heart, it is cold.
He obviously has a cold heart. He's got a cold heart for all of these deaths that he's seen over these years. I don't know how he looks in the mirror. And he's coming to Brownsville on Thursday. Like, thank you for showing up now after all these people have died. He doesn't care. This is all about the politics of the future. They want millions to come here, become citizens, then voters, so they can control the country. And they don't care. It's obvious they don't care who dies to meet those goals. And John, look, we passed a bill. I helped write the bill with Governor Abbott. Senate Bill 4, it's going to the Supreme Court at some point. It says that we as a state can take control of our own border, just like the federal government, because we're being invaded. They're not doing their job. We're spending billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to do what Biden should be doing. And if this Supreme Court will uphold our bill, Texas will take control of the border. We'll hire all those Border Patrol agents to be our own Border Patrol agents. We'll shut it down.
They will shut it down, but Supreme Court has to uphold that bill. We're going to have more on the illegal immigration issue in the next hour. Also in the next hour, FBI Director Wray recently, as you know, warned a Chinese communist and terrorist inside our border already because of this open border. And then yet he's also pushing agents to understand that the core of the FBI is focused on DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. So how does that help the FBI agents actually do their job if they're focused on DEI? That'll be coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. And before this hour is over, former CBS 60 Minutes correspondent Lara Logan on the insidious threat to the First Amendment. When I say insidious, the source of the attack on the First Amendment is coming from those who should be among the first to stand up and defend the First Amendment. But they defend only the parts of the First Amendment that benefit them, not our Constitution. That's coming up before this hour is over. And also before this hour is over, MSNBC, Joy Reid asking, why do we want more babies in our nation? What a question. We'll also look at how the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on frozen embryos might be causing division inside anti-abortion groups. 40 Days for Life CEO and President will be joining us. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, CEO and president of 40 Days for Life. Let me take a moment to explain what 40 Days for Life is. It's now an international organization, but it started in Texas, and it's built upon repeated pattern of events inside the Bible. 40 days of Noah's Ark, 40 days Moses spent on Mount Sinai, Jesus is 40 days in the desert. So that's the basis for the term 40 Days for Life. And the CEO and president, Sean Carney, welcome aboard again, sir.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And also, Sean Carney is author of What to Say When, a guide to discussing abortion with those for or against it. Sean, let's begin with the issue, the Alabama Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos can be considered children under state law. What is the position of 40 Days for Life in your organization?
Well, it's great. I mean, this case came about because this guy was fumbling around with these frozen embryos and he dropped two and they died. They were destroyed. And so the parents sued and the Alabama Supreme Court said, we protect life back to conception. These children have been conceived, and therefore, through biological common sense, they should have protection under the law. And so it's a great thing. I think we're going to see this spread state to state because basically the United States has never really had a substantive conversation about IVF, which is an industry that's gone very highly unregulated over the years.
All right, let's for the public to understand, IVF, we're talking about in vitro fertilization for someone who maybe cannot have their own baby but has a egg and sperm implant in someone else. That happens from time to time as well. And also going to frozen embryos for a future time because maybe they're undergoing cancer treatments or might make them not childbearing later. But President Trump had said Friday, shortly after this ruling, that he strongly supports the availability of IVF. Do you strongly support IVF procedures?
No, not at all. And I understand why Trump said that, because it would basically be political suicide if he didn't back it up. But he doesn't really know what he's talking about. I mean, most people don't. IVF is a very it's funneled by great intentions, right? People want to have a baby, but through the process, the reason many people don't do IVF is because they create 7 or 8 embryos. They take 2 or 3, hoping one survives, and the others are just discarded, or they're stuck in a freezer. And the parents are left with trying to go to bed at night knowing that 3 or 4 of their children are frozen in some lab somewhere.
Well, now, Let's take a bullet, and you're more than welcome to chastise me or criticize me if my I did a quick thumbnail sketch of what IVF is, and everything you said is correct, but I'm seeing this is going to cause a split inside conservative, even anti-abortionist. Do you see that happening?
I think it's already been a split for years. I mean, really, the only organization that's consistently taught against this is the Catholic Church, and a lot of people just kind of roll their eyes and say, well, that's kind of weird. But when you look at it logically, biologically, ethically, there's a good reason why it would divide people. I don't know if it would divide votes. I don't think anybody's going to run and vote for Biden because of IVF. He wants abortion at 40 weeks.
Right.
But so I'm not worried about that. But I do think it's a good conversation. We have a lot of people. I've written a chapter of one of my books about IVF. People want to know, and we hear from a lot of couples that say, you know, we went through IVF, and they never told us we were going to end up with five extra frozen embryos.
Right, right.
And now they're, you know, they have to live with that. And so I think it's a good conversation for us to have. I think IVF's immoral. I don't think we should be creating people outside of the natural act. And so, but other people disagree with that.
Can you not see their side that they want to have their own children and maybe they're facing some treatment that will make them unable to create their own child in the future if they don't use IVF now? And maybe, also put a limit that you only fertilize one egg so you don't have extra stored. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I completely understand the motivation. I think the motivation is good. I think it goes in the category of the motivation may be good, but the result's not going to be. And, you know, they have tried to do it where you can kind of create one egg only. It's very rare that's successful.
Right.
IVF has a very low success rate. Many couples go through it. They never end up with a baby, and they discard, you know, hundreds of embryos in the process. It is emotionally grueling. It's not this gifted miracle that's just going to give you a baby. It's a very long, hard process. We have about 96,000 babies a year that are born through IVF after millions of attempts. And so I do understand the motivation, obviously, but I don't think that we should be getting into the eugenics part of creating human life just because we can.
All right, well, let me go down that road briefly with you. I know a couple. They happen to be a gay couple, but I also know others who just might be a single woman, and she wants to be a mother, and so she gets artificially inseminated, so there is no sex act, but inseminates, her own eggs. You have an issue with that? That's creating life via science.
I do have an issue with it because we're starting off by removing a father from this child through a very
let me put a pause on that. We're not removing a father. There is no father, but she wants to have a child and care and love for it.
Well, every child has a father. Is a father. Otherwise,
you're right. You're right. Somebody they may or may not know. You're right. Go ahead.
And that kid has to grow up with that. My dad went to a clinic, and then they inserted him inside my mom in a petri dish somewhere, and I'm the result. I think it's a process that deserves great scrutiny, and it's never really had that. And what Alabama is doing is saying, well, that ship has sailed, right? But now we have these embryos. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when the left wants to thaw them out? What are we going to use these kids for? I mean, once we have these children, they theoretically deserve protection under the law. And if New York and California can kill a baby who survives an abortion, if they can have an abortion at 40 weeks, why can't Alabama protect us at our most vulnerable stage, a stage we were all at?
So it may well come back to what the states decide, just as we are with Roe v. Wade being overturned, and it's a state decision.
Exactly.
And you think that's going to be best for the country or more divisive?
I don't know if we can be more divided. You're being a little optimistic. But, I mean, I'm not worried about us being divided when it comes to human life. Look, the Supreme Court in 1973 dehumanized an entire segment of our population. Finally, they corrected their error. And it was, frankly, Trump who accomplished that. And now we have the fallout, and we had it with slavery. Reconstruction was very, very difficult. There were a lot of people that wanted to go back and just have, you know, blacks be slaves for only a, you know, portion of their life, not their whole life. And those people, thank God, are laughed at in the history books. We have created this disaster of abortion, and it has many different layers. IVF is definitely one of those, what ethically we can do with somebody after we've artificially, you know, created them.
What do you tell, since you wrote the book, What to Say When, what do you tell someone who says, but I want to have a baby, I don't have anyone I want to mate with, and I want to bear a child? What's your response to a woman who's pleading for, I want to have my own babies? Yes, I can adopt, and surely there are many that need adoption. What are you going to tell her?
I would say that the desire to have your own baby is a beautiful desire, but it's not a commodity. It's not an entitlement. And there's a reason why sex is required. We're always told that we're the ones hung up on sex. You know, it's quite the opposite. And so, you know, I want a kid is not always a reason to get a kid. And I think that is one of the reasons why a lot of people, frankly, don't do IVF. They don't want six frozen kids as they're playing with their four-year-old.
And I do want to deal with that very quickly, but before I do get to that, but we use science all the time to advance, preserve, extend life that would not be saved otherwise. How's the comparison?
Preserve it.
Sir?
It discards.
Oh, Sean, you're breaking up. Try again.
It doesn't preserve life. It discards it.
No, I'm not talking about the embryos. I'm talking about other science that, you know, now they have a treatment they can give you to help you avoid a particular cancer, prostate cancer, whatever else like that, preserving life. That's what I meant, that we do use science to extend life and things of that nature that you might not have had decades ago, of course. So there's a balance of where we were and where we are and what we can do, and now some folks are looking at IVF as our opportunity to do that. But your point is that all of these hundreds of fertilized eggs, what are you going to do in the end? Dump them in the trash? You're going to burn them? I mean, and again, you are talking about a fertilized embryo. According to the Alabama court, that is a baby.
We do discard them. It's just that we keep some. So we only have 600,000 frozen embryos. We've just gotten rid of the rest. And anytime there's a medical advancement, we obviously have to ask, just because we can do it, should we do it? Which, of course, we all know because we've all seen Jurassic Park. And this is definitely the problem with IVF. And every time you get a medical advancement, it's amazing what we can do. But we've also used medicine to kill. And this is another example of that.
Well, again, in a thumbnail sketch, how do you see this playing, even for those who are strong anti-abortion, but also believe, you know, if you can create a new life, why not, if this is one way to do it?
That's a good question. I think most people will just roll their eyes on it and be like, I think IVF's fine, who cares? I don't think it's going to be a big divisive, you know, issue. And I think people that want to pick it up and look at this industry, like Texas, it may go state to state.
Sean Carney, thank you very much for your time. CEO and President, 40 Days for Life. We'll obviously be discussing this in the future, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Coming up, MSNBC's Joy Reid questions, why do we want or need more babies? Her reasoning is shameless.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
As if she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I see the bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The United States has a population of north of 327 million people. Why do we need more kids? I mean, your party, Senator Tuberville, is the one screaming that 10 million immigrants, which I don't even know that that number even makes any sense because it doesn't, have streamed into the country since Joe Biden has been president, and you're claiming that that's too many people, that if more people come into the southern border, this is some sort of crisis because we've got too many people and we've got no more space and we can't afford more people. But now you're saying we need more kids? Can you explain who's the we and what's the purpose?
That is a twisted logic of MSNBC's Joy Reid, referring to Senator Tuberville of Alabama, the very state we were talking about previously about the IVF procedures and the Supreme Court of Alabama ruling that frozen embryos are to be treated as babies, children. And Tuberville made a statement that, you know, we have people who want to have more children. And she's, we have Joy Reid saying, why do we want more? And then she's trying to compare to a newborn baby or an American family, by whatever process, I'll add, to the illegals that have been allowed to invade our nation under Joe Biden. And she wants to act like, oh, that 10 million number. No, I don't even know how they come up with that. It doesn't even make any sense. How can she just simply ignore the numbers even posted by the Border Patrol and Immigration Customs and Enforcement? Larry Connors didn't post those numbers. You didn't. And we have every reason to believe, based on the number of gotaways, that again the Border Patrol and ICE admit, the number is way higher than the number she quoted, 10 million. But she says, based upon that, if we're already having, we're overstretching everything else, why do we need more babies? I don't know, and I am bothered to check if Joy Reid has a child, ever tried to or anything. It's her personal life, but I'm just looking at how she wants to take her position, her pulpit, a bully pulpit of MSNBC, and basically preach to you. She was actually using a Twitter account when she made those remarks, but preach to you that you probably don't need any babies. But then she gets into a very strange and, again, twisted explanation that she thinks might be behind Senator Tuberville's remarks.
There was a time when the state of Alabama absolutely needed more kids because, you know, Alabama was a slave state. And the mandate of the planter class in Alabama was for black women to produce more kids because those kids were property and they could work more kids and make more money on their plantations. Are you saying the state of Alabama needs more kids because you think that those populations will include people who are maybe destitute and desperate enough if you kick out the immigrants like a lot of y'all want to do and you can make them do the work that the migrants are doing now? Because that kind of sounds slavery-ish. Is the state of Alabama the we? And is that the why? I mean, you're also a white guy. Are you saying the we is white folks need more kids? Is this like a great replacement thing where you're concerned that there's not enough white people in the population versus the growth of the Latino population, the black population, the Asian American population? And so the we is white people need to make white women have more kids? And that's the we and that's the why? Because it's a little creepy. A little Handmaid's Tale-y, don't you think?
Handmaid's Tale, based off of that movie and TV series. My assistant producer, Quentin, told me that she does have three children. And that's fine. That's her life. And I wish the children well. But when you hear her talk about, oh, maybe it's an intent to basically have more blacks have babies so we can enslave them. Joy Reid, how do you explain Planned Parenthood centers placed in predominantly minority neighborhoods so they will not have more children, not because of abstinence or some contraceptive method, but by abortion, and killing them at whatever age? But let me go back to how they were doing it in the past and may still be doing in some areas of China. China has a history of female infanticide spanning something like 2,000 years. The girl child is of no value to the Chinese. They only need one girl child to bear several children. They need more boys, males, to do the work that they intend. And yes, they recognize in China, contrary to some of the progressives in this nation, there are only two genders, male and female. And China has for 2,000 years decided if their newborn baby is a female, throw them into the river or rubbish piles. That was documented even in the 17th century that it was occurring in several of China's provinces. And at that time, the main reason was also poverty. We can't feed another baby if they're not going to be able to give us something in return. Not just another baby, another mouth to feed, but actually go out and do work, hard labor. That maybe they consider the women or baby girls would not be able to do. Now, they did decline this practice during the communist era as it began, but it has again reemerged as part of the one-child policy back in the 80s, if you recall that. And again, in China, a female baby is not as valuable as a male baby in their view. Joy Reid talking about, what is this, just to have more babies at, and maybe a replacement, get more whites than we have blacks and minority others? She's not paying attention to what's happening with illegal immigration. Majority of those coming across, the vast majority, while we do have some coming from the African nations, most are Hispanic in some form or another. And as I have told this audience repeatedly, black voters who are being courted by Democrats right now, considered a prize they want to gain, when the numbers go upside down, you're not any more valuable than maybe an Asian voter to Democrats if you cannot produce enough votes for them. Then it will be the Latino voters, Hispanic, by whatever description you want. Again, her reasoning is twisted, has no logic, has no reasoning. I shouldn't even use that word in the same sentences I do with Joy Reid. I wonder, just on a personal note, did she sense joy and pleasure in knowing when her children were born or when she was carrying them? Or did she feel like she was being enslaved by the child she was carrying? Again, I wish her children well. I hope she has not poisoned them too much with some of her current critical thinking. This is the same kind of woman who will call out anybody that if you are basically taking over someone else's custom, that you're stealing it, who is now wearing a blonde wig on a constant basis, either blonde wig or she. Women can do what they want with their hair. I don't care. But when they claim, if you want to walk around with a feather in your hair and somebody thinks you're taking away the principle of American Indians, there's no logic reasoning in any of that. But let's turn to some logic. Yesterday in D.C., former CBS 60 Minutes correspondent Lara Logan delivered a speech on how the First Amendment is being undermined by those who should be fighting to protect it. When we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Media companies, institutions, and journalism schools have failed all of us. And for too long, we have allowed nonprofit organizations to masquerade as nonpartisan media watchdogs, when in fact they are little more than highly paid political propagandists and assassins, whose entire reason for being is to crush anyone who stands in their way. And along with them, the long-held and cherished ideas of free speech, free thinking, and free minds. This is a blood sport for them.
A blood sport for those who demolish First Amendment thinkers and believers and basic ethics of journalism and free speech. Which brings us again to the story I related to you the other day, how one of the George Soros-funded foundations is buying up radio stations across America that were in bankruptcy under the Odyssey leadership. Pennies on the dollar. Well, that's a good business move. Can't complain about that. But knowing the progressive leadership and push of George Soros, and how much that has damaged our nation to the extent where we have no bail laws, no one held accountable. Basically, even for murder, you can walk out the same day. And, of course, leading to illegals coming into our country to the point where they're flooding American cities. And, yes, they are overwhelming them. In New York City, just yesterday, there was a bust of a location that was a furniture warehouse place, and they were apparently having something like 80 to 90 illegals from Nigeria living in the basement. but they only had enough beds available for half of them. So half of them could sleep. The others could not go at that time. They'd had to swap out. And they supposedly, according to the manager of the location or owner, said, well, they're paying $300 a month. They're getting a place to sleep, and I provide food. Now, you can multiply that out. That's a lot of fast money, and I'm sure there was no tax taken or paid on that so far. But if you want to point out the inequities and how our economy is being crushed and our children are being denied benefits as American citizens they should have because of illegals, well, then you're considered an enemy of the George Soros and progressive foundations. And yes, it is blood sport to demolish you. Lara Logan knows that firsthand. Lara was originally began her career in South Africa with various news organizations in the 90s. And of course, her profile rose during the invasion of Afghanistan 2001. Then she got hired as a correspondent for CBS News in 2002, eventually becoming chief foreign affairs correspondent. Also did numerous stories for CBS 60 Minutes. There was a 2013, or in 2013, one of her stories on the 2012 Benghazi attack caused significant controversy. According to, now I'm reading from Wikipedia, so you consider the source, there were factual errors and it was retracted, resulting in a leave of absence. And then they say after that, she began making wide-ranging claims on a variety of conspiracy theories. You see how they get rid of her and then still try to tarnish her? I know that story personally, Lara. Not to the extent you do, at least at that level, but it is still the same. In March of 2022, she said it came to the Fox Nation when she was joining them. In January, March, she said, I got dumped by the network, even Fox. So if you're stepping out of line wherever you are and you're not doing the duty as they see you should be doing it, they will look for a way as a blood sport to control you. Lara Logan again in her speech in D.C. yesterday.
They know how to kill a journalist without murdering them. We call it cancel culture. In truth, it is a death sentence. And they get away with it because they have information dominance. Some are strong enough to survive, but only a few, like Glenn Greenwald, Tucker Carlson, Matt Taibbi, only a few like them are able to reach greater heights and thrive. These nonprofits that I'm talking about are part of a vast censorship network that includes government agencies. They use deception to mask their actions with lofty goals like preventing the spread of misinformation, disinformation, hate speech. They use phrases like protecting democracy. And make no mistake, words matter. While propaganda and censorship are not new, technology means unprecedented power and reach in the hands of a few.
And they will abuse it if given the opportunity. Decades ago, when I was teaching young students getting into the business, some of them were even graduates of a couple of prestigious journalism schools. Either they weren't listening when things were being taught, or they were being taught wrong from the beginning. And that was decades ago. And I questioned then, what are we doing in our journalism schools? Maybe you do need to relabel them propaganda schools. Coming up in the next hour, a closer look at the FBI DEI program and what it is doing to our national security. That's in our next hour. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.